Welcome back to another episode of Dan Has a Plan Beyond the Balance Sheet. I'm Daniel B. Smith, a certified financial planner on the Family Wealth Management team at UBS Financial Services. Our branch is located in Paramus, New Jersey, and I can be reached at daniel.b.smith@ubs.com. I'm joined by my daughter, Alana J. Smith.
That's me.
Exactly. Today's episode will focus on the ever-growing sandwich generation and how working with a certified financial planner can help you handle some of that stress with confidence.
Dan, what's your favorite sandwich?
Come on.
I know. If you had to pick.
PB&J.
Really? Wow. I love a PB&J.
Yeah.
My favorite is chicken salad on challah bread with a little crisp lettuce, some pickles, red onion.
Well, there you have it.
Okay, we're not talking about real sandwiches, though. How do you feel about a generation named after sandwiches?
Well, I've lived it a long time, so I know a lot about it.
You're talking about people who have parents who are still in their lives and kids who still need assistance.
Yes.
That's the sandwich generation.
That's the prototypical definition.
You are our expert today. How's it feel?
Well, it feels good.
Yeah, you've earned it.
I certainly have.
It's just you and me today. We're talking about the financial stress of being in the middle of two generations, both financially and emotionally, and all the things that come along with it. There's just, as you see with your clients, you were talking to me about how often you see people in this position as people are getting older and older.
Yeah, it's way more than financial, by the way. There's a piece that is clearly financial. However, there is a huge financial piece that people tend to ignore. Where it all starts is this. One of my favorite sayings to a client or a prospect is, if it's important to you, it's important to me.
Yeah, it's your mantra.
It is. I don't think I have the corner on that one, but I use it a lot.
That's okay. You can take credit.
And essentially, when you're sitting down with a client for a review meeting or an initial meeting, or if it's a prospect that you're meeting for the first time, you got to take the temperature.
Yeah, you got to take the temp.
And the temp is basically an open-ended question like, tell me what's going on.
Right. You don't know this person. You don't know what's going on at all.
Correct.
Or you haven't seen him in a year, right?
Exactly.
It's your annual meeting.
I always laugh. You know, people come to meetings and they bring their UBS statements and they want to dive right into numbers. And I said, oh, let's hold it. Let's take a step back. Okay. Tell me, how are you? How's your job? How's your health? How are your kids? How are your parents? You know, give me the family update first. Tell me what's going on.
Right. So we have an Ask Dan question today that was kind of so all-encompassing that I thought, let's do a whole episode on it. So lucky you, listener. This is your lucky day. You get a whole episode on your question.
Little did they know that when they lobbed this email question into Alana J. Smith that she would run with it.
You know, sometimes you got to give yourself credit, and today you're the expert, Dan.
Yeah, but you facilitate the expertise.
All right, I'll take it. Okay, so this listener asks, and we're going to get into all of this, but here's the background. First of all, he's a fan of the show. Hi, Dan. Love the show.
Wow. Got a fan out there.
And we love you. He writes, I'm 55, married, and two kids in high school, and two sets of recently retired grandparents. Meaning, I think he means his parents and his partner's parents. I've managed our finances on my own up to this point, but I'm starting to feel the squeeze from all sides. I've never worked with a financial planner like yourself. I feel pretty good about retirement, but it seems like your approach is pretty holistic. So what kinds of things would you help with beyond just picking investments, or beyond the balance sheet, if you will? He says, I'm thinking about college, aging parents, insurance, taxes, all of it. What could I expect in, say, our first year working together? But I really think that this is about, he's 55, he's got kids who are about to go off to college, he's got parents who seem well, recently retired, and, you know, might need some support going forward. So this is a classic sandwich generation listener.
Yes. How I'd like to attack the answer to this question is, let's start with step one. Step one is communication.
Okay.
So to specifically answer this question by this listener, and thank you for listening, I would attack it in the following manner. I would emphasize that we should do a financial plan first, and that's more for empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
He or she makes the statement that I think I'm in pretty good shape for retirement planning. Okay. But let's validate that first.
Yeah. Is there more you could be doing?
Yes. Secondly, let's expand the rubber band a little bit. He mentioned kids, So that's multiple to me that are near college age.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I always offer to meet with the kids.
Oh, great.
So I can report back to them. What's their lens? What lens are they looking through? Okay. Have they selected a college? Do they have any clue about how that's going to be paid for? Have they looked at in-state versus out-of-state? You know, there's just a myriad of things.
Yeah, we have a whole episode about college admissions.
Right. The second piece to that is doing a financial plan for the kids. They can do their own financial plan because the decision they're going to make about college is really going to greatly impact their financial plan.
Okay? Yeah. So this is great. So we're diving into the first layer of bread in the sandwich.
Correct.
The kids.
Yeah. Let's go north now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Two sets of parents recently retired. I would want to softly say to this client or prospect, are your parents open to meeting with me and doing their financial plan? It's a way of connecting the beads. There's three sets of beads here. There's the kids, there's the parents, which is the sandwich generation, and then there's their parents.
Right, because I guess if you're saying, you know, my parents, my partner's parents are on my mind in terms of putting myself in a position to maybe support them down the line, then their finances play into that.
Correct.
Right?
That's correct.
So if you don't have a full picture, I'm sure it's possible. I'm sure you do it all the time, but it's probably easier to have everybody in there.
Right.
The full sandwich, the full bite.
Yeah. So there's the money piece. That's the first piece. But there's another piece that's often overlooked. It's the communication piece. And I'm not talking about talking to each other. I'm talking about documenting how to help each other if needed.
Getting those ducks in a row.
Right. The first duck I always bring up to why I have kids going off to college is, are you aware that your child is turning 18?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just, that's a kind of an easy one.
Like when a kid turns 18, everything is put in their, like everything's handed over, right?
All the power by law goes to the kid.
It's insane. That's insane.
It is. So let's take a couple simple things. Let's just say the kid is a juvenile diabetic. Okay.
Okay.
Really?
Yep.
So they're taking insulin.
Mm-hmm.
They go to college. They get a call that the son or daughter is in the middle of a medical emergency.
Mm-hmm.
There's no connective power for the parent to act on the child's behalf without proper documentation.
So that's an extra step that needs to be taken.
So for example, the prospective school they're going to, let's just say Rutgers University.
Okay.
You can put together a document where if something happens to your child, they can share medical information with the parents.
And is that standard for most colleges?
No, you have to ask.
You have to ask. Okay.
Okay. So health is important. Secondly, let's just say you're making monthly payments to the university and for some reason a payment is not posted. They don't call the parent, they call the kid.
Right.
So what type of access do you have to their financial information so you can assist? Now, some parents want to put it on the kid, say, hey, it's on you,
right,
and you go. But I'm trying to bring up a couple of circumstances that would help.
Mm-hmm.
The third part is, do they have a bank account in their name? Do they have a bank account in joint name? You know, there's how to get money to the kid. So these are all things that I think of just off the top of my head.
Great. Yeah.
Okay. When I flip to the north, okay, we got two sets of parents.
Yep.
So I'll basically ask, you know, without giving me any specificity, what's the health situation of all four people? Number two, what state do they live in? Do they have a will? Do they have a power of attorney? Do they have a health care directive? Okay, who's in charge? Do they have long-term care insurance?
Okay.
Okay. So these are just unpacking, you know, conversation about the family opens the flow of, okay, these are questions that should be discussed. So that first year of getting to know a client, you know, you can't do everything in a first meeting. Okay.
Right. But there's kind of like levels of a checklist you go through.
I always think about a meeting before I have one. I review my notes from the previous meeting and, you know, I pick up on topics. Hey, we spoke last time about X, what's the progress of that? So on and so forth. And don't forget, we're dealing with, in this case, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people that they have some level of responsibility towards in normal circumstances. What can we do to get their ducks in a row? Preemptively, we can make sure the flow of information or money or stepping in to act on someone's behalf is in place.
Right. Everybody's on the same page.
Everybody's on the same page.
What are some of the biggest challenges you see people face when they don't have some of these ducks in a row.
Usually what happens is that it's Murphy's Law.
One thing leads to the next, leads to the next.
Yeah. So, you know, it may sound like a simple thing, but I'll just give you a couple of examples that have happened to me during my career working with clients that may bring it to light. Let's just say that your son or daughter wants to go on spring break.
Okay.
Okay. Let's just say they're going to a New Jersey school and they're going to go to Fort Lauderdale. That's where I went. So I'll just use Fort Lauderdale.
Spring break 82.
Okay. So let's just say that they want to drive.
Okay.
Okay. And they want to use your car. Okay. It's titled in your name. Your son or daughter has insurance to drive that vehicle. And they're going to pack 5 people into the vehicle. And they're going to drive straight through from New Jersey to Florida.
Not a problem.
Okay.
What could go wrong?
So here's what I think. Okay. 1, if the car breaks down, what happens?
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, do you have Easy Pass?
Well, everybody has to have Easy Pass now.
You think?
Yes.
All right. Number 3, if another driver drives your car, are you covered via insurance?
Like who's not the kid?
Who's not the kid?
Okay.
Hey, let's call your insurance broker if something happens. Does your son or daughter know how to change a flat tire?
No.
Exactly. So this is just one example.
Yeah. So is this an instance where you encourage a client to call you and say, my family is entertaining this idea. What are some of the things I should do?
I have had clients call me for not only that, but many other things.
Yeah. Like for much less.
Yes. Yes. And so as a financial planner, do I have all the answers? No way. I don't have the answers. But I have a team around me that I can go to get certain questions answered.
And you've seen a lot.
Yeah. I've experienced a lot. So these are the questions I get. The parents, let's just say they're retiring at 64. What's the first thing that comes into your mind?
Well, isn't Social Security 65?
No, Social Security starts at 62. So it's not a Social Security situation.
Question. Okay. 64. I don't know.
Health benefits.
Oh, because 65 is Medicare.
Okay. So do we have that gap covered?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do they have someone to speak to regarding that?
Right. Because if they're retiring at 64, their benefits no longer apply from their jobs.
Either that or they have to go on what's called COBRA, which is extremely expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, people out there know what COBRA is.
Why don't you explain it just in case?
Well, COBRA is this. If you're covered under a company health plan and you have what's called a separation from service, whether they fire you, whether you leave voluntarily, you're able to continue with your insurance generally up to 18 months.
Via COBRA.
Via COBRA. So you're paying out of pocket for whatever the company paid for your health insurance. So if they're paying $18,000 a year, $1,500 a month, $1,000 a month, whatever it is, you can step into that insurance and pay.
Right.
Okay. As opposed to, you know, going into the marketplace, maybe you go out to your spouse's insurance if they're still working at a different employer.
Right. Now, what about, he hasn't mentioned this, but let's just say he has siblings. And so how do you navigate who takes the charge, or how do you navigate splitting the parent side of the sandwich generation with other people that you may not know?
Generally speaking, and I'll say this is 99% of the time,
mm-hmm.
there's always one of the people in the sandwich generation that takes the bull by the horns.
Like the siblings, the
yes,
kids
yes.
of the parents.
So yeah, it's with some just soft questioning, we identify who that person is.
Okay? Yeah, I don't know. I kind of have a feeling that if this guy has siblings, our listener, if you have siblings, that you are taking the charge if you're asking this question.
Correct. That's my intuition. But listen, if you're the sandwich generation and it's only you, then I know the answer. But if it's 2, 3, or 4 that are trying to share the load, that's all the more reason to get on the same page and get your ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a sibling that has greater expertise in certain areas.
Now, what about trusts?
Yeah, so I get a lot of questions on trusts. And
first of all, what is a trust? That's my first question.
Okay. You are the co-host. So you get to ask questions.
I'm speaking
too.
For the people.
A trust is a document that provides the following. I always say protection first. A trust protects people against in-laws, outlaws, creditors, and predators. Okay. That cover it all?
No. So it's an account.
Yeah. So let's boil it down to your question specifically. You are Alana J. Smith.
That's me.
You have an account in your personal name. You are a sole practitioner.
Heyo.
So if you are sued, let's say you get in a car accident, they can sue you personally, and those assets are exposed because they're in your personal name.
Right.
Let's say we put the assets via an attorney into a revocable trust. That would protect you. meaning that now you have a legal document. It's the Alana J. Smith Revocable Trust. From a tax perspective, it's even Steven. However, it would give you a level of protection against this car accident. But the second thing is if you get married, that's not a marital asset.
Ah, I see.
Okay, so it protects you against, you know, if you have a divorce, it's your money. Thirdly, because we have to take the worst case scenario.
Sure.
You pass away, the revocable trust has a beneficiary. That means that in the state of New Jersey, you do not have to go through a process called probate. You don't have to go to Hackensack, New Jersey and get a letter of testamentary from the will that you probably didn't prepare. And if you didn't prepare a will, then your siblings as next of kin would have to go down there and get appointed as the next of kin of your estate. And it's a public document.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you have a revocable trust, it passes by way of beneficiary. It is not a public document. So your information is not public. It goes to your sister and brother.
So where does this come into play with a sandwich generation person?
For a sandwich generation person, just thinking out loud, okay, but with their parents, there's two sets of parents, okay, not knowing anything about their financial well-being, okay, they may consult with an attorney to protect assets from very high healthcare costs down the line, meaning that your home could be put into a trust, your monies can be put into a trust. There's something called an irrevocable trust, so you can get it out of your estate. I'm getting a little deeper here, but there's things that can be done and explored if you're looking to protect assets from very high healthcare costs.
So yeah, case by case basis, this might come into play.
Yeah, at UBS, part of that process is we have a whole estate planning team at our disposal, which is free of cost. And we can explore all the ideas and the pros and cons of that. So that's something I like to have at a successive meeting, to talk to people in the sandwich generation, because quite frankly, it's just a little overwhelming for them.
Yeah, so talk more about what goes on in that estate planning service at UBS.
Yeah, so I bring in what's called an estate planning specialist.
Is that an attorney or no?
No.
Okay.
No, they're not giving advice. They're giving optionality
mm-hmm.
and pros and cons, because there's a lot of pros and cons with what you're attempting to do. But it all comes through education. And I'm not being disparaging to the legal community, but when you go to see an attorney, you would like to have a quasi plan of what you'd like to accomplish.
Right, like having a knowledge of your options already so you don't get swayed one way or another.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. So, and the other thing is that our estate planning team will recommend three different providers.
Attorneys?
Yes, that we have experience with that have been vetted.
That's so cool.
Well, it's...
it's a perk.
It's a perk. Yeah, it is a perk. The money part, I always say, is the easiest part. It's the non-money part. Trying to get people to hone in on that
mm-hmm.
is difficult if they haven't been through the life that I've been through professionally.
Right. You breathe it in and out every day.
Correct. So I want them to be proactive and educated about what their options are, okay? Because best plan is executed when you're prepared. So when something does arise, and God forbid nothing ever happens, but if something does arise, there's a way to manage through that process.
It only ever gets harder. There's only more going on.
Yeah. So, you know, we haven't even gotten into things like cognition.
Right.
When people age, you know, their memories aren't as good as they were when they were younger. And then there's Alzheimer's, there's dementia.
You've dealt with people and scamming, you know, like a vulnerable community that as you get older, it's
right.
They're targeted.
Yeah. And, you know, whoever I'm dealing with whatever age, I'm very adamant about this. Do not answer texts. Do not click on texts. Do not answer phone calls. Do not click on links on emails. You know, there's another way to attack what the solicitation is. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, don't go online to fix your computer, because the first thing they'll ask is for your bank information. That's a red flag. For your social security number, that's a red flag. To fix your printer, you shouldn't be calling an 800 number and dealing with somebody that you don't know. Listen,
yeah.
I know it's frustrating with all the technology that's out there, and it's very frustrating for me personally, truthfully.
These are questions you get as the child of aging parents who, you know, everybody has a phone now, so you're all dealing with it.
Yes.
And so if you're in your 50s, you know you're dealing with parents getting locked out of their iPhone. There's no way you're not.
Correct.
Yeah, you could call your financial planner and have them tell you what to do.
Yeah, and it's not like you're going to get the answer from Dan, but there are people that are 30 years younger than me on the team that know the answers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They provide good guidance.
So what else? What other ducks in a row would you recommend people?
Well, all information, whether it be medical, financial, legal, is usually in a portal. And then there's a password to the portal. And everybody needs this information, but nobody knows how to get it.
Okay. Yeah.
People forget their passwords. So what's a good workaround? Okay. So what I like to do is I say, listen, if you're all loving and caring for each other, there is a legal document called the power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a myriad of different types.
Really?
Yes. I can give you at least 10 different types. But whatever type of access you need on someone else's behalf, there's a power of attorney for it. So, for example, if a client has money at UBS and they want others to have access to viewing the account, doing trading on the account, access to tax reporting statements, things of that nature, we have a document that is a no-cost document that the client can sign and give empowerment to other people in their life. For example, if someone's in a car accident, they're not able to pay bills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how are bills paid?
Right.
You have to have a document that says, okay, I'm permitted to pay bills for this person. It's a certain type of power of it.
Mm-hmm.
Getting your ducks in a row from that point of view, so many circumstances where if you just think ahead, say, how do I mitigate really big problems? Having legal access through, say, a power of attorney document is important.
Same, yeah. In the same way an 18-year-old gets signed over to being an adult, yeah, you don't necessarily have access to your parents' medical information.
As an example, I'll give you an example, okay? Let's just say I go to the doctor,
mm-hmm,
okay? And you know this.
You've been known to go.
Yeah, I've been known to go. I'm not happy about going.
I know, but you're on top of it.
Okay, so we talked in a previous episode about A1C, right?
Yes.
Okay. When I get home, your mom peppers me with all the questions.
Yes.
All right? And what I did is that I legally gave my physician permission to speak to my wife.
Right.
And she can ask him any question about the appointment or numbers.
Plus, she's a medical professional. She has a deeper understanding, so it's helpful.
That's great. Yeah, my lane is not medicine.
No.
Okay. I don't proclaim to be a physician or act one on TV either.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
but if you had to perform a surgery, you had to. Circumstances say you are the guy. What kind of surgery do you think you can pull off?
I think I could pull hair out of somebody's head. That's about it. But I would have to do it. God. I'd have to do it a strand at a time. Does that put it into perspective?
Yeah. Is that an elective surgery?
No, but all kidding aside,
it's not your thing.
That is not the lane I live in.
Yeah. So
even things like, you know, it doesn't sound like a big thing, but have you noticed the price of cars today?
No, but yeah. Everything's up.
Yeah. So I am always stunned. I'm stunned when clients don't call me to discuss their optionality for cars.
Yeah. That seems like the first thing you do.
Yeah. I'm not trying to dissuade them from getting any type of car, but how to obtain the car and what's really realistic.
Because there are lots of ways. Yeah.
You know, I can't tell you the mistakes that, you know, pre-college kids make when they're looking at cars.
Because they're vulnerable, yeah.
Oh, my God. Let's just say in this case, they're out of college and they got their first job. They're living at home. And unbeknownst to mom or dad, they just go down to a local dealership and they not only buy a car, they sign an 8-year loan, payments of $1,500 a month. And insurance costs, they haven't even factored in yet.
Right.
I really want to fall off my chair before that happens. Okay. So essentially, as a financial planner, dealing with the sandwich generation a lot, I get a lot of calls from sandwich generation clients. Will you please speak to Tommy or Dorothy and say, listen, okay, here are your options for obtaining a vehicle.
Yeah.
Come into the office.
Stop Googling.
Yes. Let's plan it out first. Let's have a game plan before we start looking at a car.
Yeah. I guess you can Google if you're bringing in questions, but
this is really where you have to just break it down to basics.
I would imagine that as a 55-year-old person with both these people starting to look to you for answers, it can get pretty overwhelming.
Yeah. And, you know, listen, not to be disparaging about any car dealership or person that works there, okay? But their job is to push product out the door.
Of course, yeah.
And it works the same as it does with aging parents. You're worried about the ability for mom or dad to drive mm-hmm. safely. And let's say they're 89. And this bothers me to no end that they can go to any dealership. They have income. At least they have Social Security. I know they have that. And they can put them into a 5-year lease at 89.
Yeah.
What about the financial repercussions of that? What if their driving privileges are taken away in a year? So they're sitting with a car that they can't drive and they got 4 more years of payments.
Right. Yeah.
So getting back to the question of this listener, what can they expect from a financial planning experience?
Yeah, you could spend weekly meetings with people getting everything together.
Yeah. But these are just questions I usually ask anyway. Say, you know, what's the health? How's their eyesight? Because, you know, there's cataract surgery that usually comes up in that age group. How's their hearing? Okay. You know,
yeah.
You know, because I'm thinking about the cost of really good hearing aids is not covered by Medicare. It's an out-of-pocket cost.
Wow.
You know, I recently had a client that had to pay $7,000 just for hearing aids.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. And you got to plan for things like this. It's just not parents going to retirement and everything's cool, right? The thing I can tell you about the sandwich generation is they have a very high level of empathy, of responsibility, kind of not putting themselves first.
Right.
They worry about the younger and the older generation. So I try to get them to focus on themselves. Number two is, like I say, string the beads, whether it be financial or non-financial, to get the information flow together so it doesn't add more stress, because it's a massive amount of stress.
Yeah.
I can tell you.
It sounds like it. Yeah, it's a lot to think about.
I think another thing that I try to focus on, regardless of if they're a client or not, with a sandwich generation prospect or client, I'd like to know if the generation above or below has any knowledge or connectivity to other professionals, such as an insurance person, a certified public accountant, a family attorney. Is there a go-to person? Or
do we need to build the team?
Yeah, you got to build a team out. One of the advisors in my office gave my team a big compliment the other day because he said that our team has built a strong bench.
Yeah, okay? The bench goes deep.
Bench goes deep. It's not only the concentric team, which is myself and Kristen, both certified financial planners. It's Dana and Jenna, who are on the service side. Their client service associates fully licensed, and they handle everything from getting locked out online to getting your tax reporting documents to you. And then there's Tim Costello, who is really the jack of all trades, because he kind of floats between what I do and Kristen does, really down to the granular level of what Dana and Jenna do.
Also, you're talking about attorney CPAs, like all these people, you know, any of these guest experts that we've brought on are technically part of your bench. You know, it's people that you can call upon.
Yeah. So I think of like tax time.
Yep.
Okay. So
everybody okay out there?
Yeah. People ask me, Dan, when you develop a relationship with someone and they become a client, why do you try to coagulate their assets?
Uh-huh.
A lot of people think it's just for, do I want to build my business? Yeah, that's a component of it. It is. But it's nice to talk to a client that calls me in January and said, okay, Dan, what do I got to do to get ready for tax time? And I can just have a calm conversation.
You have the full picture.
Yeah. Here's what you can expect from UBS. You know, Dana and Jenna on my team are devoted to the tax part of things. So for example, if they were paying estimated tax payments during the year, we have a record of that. Number one. Number two is they'll tell you which tax documents will be generated at UBS and approximately when they'll be ready. If they have non-correlated investments, meaning that investments that are done that provide different tax reporting, for example, private equity. If we do private equity for clients, we have access to those tax documents that can be compiled with your regular tax documents. If you do your mortgage with UBS, we'll get what you paid in interest for the previous year on your mortgage. If we know who your CPA is, with your permission, we can email them directly your tax document package.
That's nice.
Correct. You get it in the mail, of course. But if your CPA, and generally most do, want it in some type of PDF format so they can download it into whatever software they're using, it's less hassle.
Yeah.
If I know that you're getting Social Security, I'll say, hey, do you have your Social Security tax reporting document?
Do you even know what that is?
If you have health insurance, did you get your health insurance document from your employer that your tax person needs as part of their tax reporting? If we have a UBS credit card, we can give you all the payments you made for certain things that may be tax deductible for the year. Right?
That's huge.
Yeah. It goes on and on from there. If they go to an attorney and they have their will done and their power of attorney and their healthcare proxy, I softly ask that you send it to UBS and we download it into your file.
Yeah. Just have everything in multiple places.
Yes. When we do financial planning, we ask about your insurance. Now, not all life insurance is generated by UBS. You have life insurance at your employer. You may have bought life insurance from your neighbor. It's all over the place. But let me just tell you, when people pass away, they don't call the insurance person. They call me. Did mom or dad have insurance? Well, All I've got to do is go to the financial plan. Yes, they did. Right. And if they have a power of attorney on file and listing their son or daughter as the recipient of that information, I can talk to them.
Right.
I can't tell you how many millions of dollars I've reminded people that they have as part of an estate that is, you know, very meaningful.
Yeah, that they might not have known about.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's nice to know that, you know, their kids can come to me. Whether they're clients or not, they get the same treatment because, like I said, if they're important to them, they're important to me. So yeah. I give them the full client treatment. If they want to do planning, I say to them, I'm going to do it for you today. Then when we're there, I'm going to say 6 months from now, we're going to meet again.
Yeah,
so
nice.
Keeping their feet to the fire. I'm not trying to meet the parents to bring in their assets. However, the parents should know that they can call me because I get questions from parents and kids of the sandwich generations all the time. Prefaced by, please don't tell blah, 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 but can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Or vice versa, the sandwich generation will say, listen, can you call my mom or dad or my son or daughter and explain to them XYZ topic?
Yeah.
So it's kind of just an extension of their bench. That's their bench.
Yeah. And it takes the stress down. That's the whole goal.
So I'm not saying every certified financial planner does what my team does. I'm just telling you what our team does.
Okay? That's right.
And why we're very passionate about whether you're part of a sandwich generation or not. What's important to you is important to us. And to me, there's no level of service that is unimportant. If someone's confused about a trade confirmation or if they're confused about their statement, how to interpret things, we spend the time to go through it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't just say, hey, call the 800 number. Okay. I'm having trouble with the app, having trouble with online services. I don't know some of the functionality. My bench has the ability to answer these questions. People sometimes like to deal with what are called discount brokerages. I guess their pitch is low cost. You pay for what you get. People generally deal with us because they like knowing that, you know, when they call for somebody, they're not going to get voicemail. They're going to get a person. That person is going to know them. And then they can build on what was the problem in the past. Maybe it's just a tweaking or a question that has to be answered. It's no different than when, you know, I'm an avid golfer. So I go to this one venue for my golf services, whether I need new grips in my clubs, I want to see what the new technology is. It could be anything golf related. I can go to that store and I know the person I go see, or I can call them and they can answer the question.
Yeah. Okay? You love that.
I do love that. You know, I don't know anything. They know if I need a steel shafted club or a graphite. I don't know.
Right.
I just know I can tell them, hey, this is what works for me. They know my swing. They know what I'm trying to accomplish, what brings me joy on the course. And that's all I'm trying to do for my profession. When people are clients of ours, they know, A, they're valued, but B, that no question is stupid.
Right.
Like I ask people, like, where are they vacationing? Okay. One of the reasons I ask, A, I'm interested.
Yeah.
Okay. I am. I like to live vicariously through them.
Where are you going?
But B is, like, for example, I had a client that was going to golf in Myrtle Beach. I happen to have been to Myrtle Beach many times on golf trips. I said, have you ever been to this restaurant? And they said, no, I wasn't aware of it. I give them restaurant tips. You know, say, hey.
He's here to give restaurant tips with your finances, okay?
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, people go to new areas. They don't know what's out there. And then they can Google stuff.
No, it's so much better to have personal recommendations in all areas. We need each other.
Yeah. You know, we have clients in a lot of states now because they retire in beautiful places. For this summer in July, I'm going to Bandon, Oregon.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people have never heard of Bandon. I can tell you it's heaven on earth for a golfer. It's like right in the middle of Oregon on the Pacific Ocean. There's five courses. I played it 10 years ago or so. And the reason I got to that course is because a good client slash friend moved from New Jersey to Bandon. And I visited them, okay? And they took me around the area and showed me.
And there you go.
Yeah, so like when people are retiring and they want to know, hey, what do you think of XYZ?
Where should I go?
If I haven't been there, I know people that have been. You know, the difference between living in Arizona versus Colorado, Tennessee versus South Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, these are things that my team brings to the plate. So what can they expect during a 1 year experience in the first year? I think they can expect a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Just last question for you is, do you have an aha moment about the sandwich generation?
So this is an aha moment. Obviously, I'm not using names because this was a real life experience, if you will. I met with a person or a couple that was in the sandwich generation, like
deep in it,
full on definition. It's a small thing, but I think it's a big thing. You know, obviously, over the course of a few meetings, I honed in on what was really important to them. And I brought in the estate planning team and we met with them and kind of honed things down a little bit as to what their goals were. It ended up, we referred them to an attorney and they went to that attorney and they got everything in place. I got the most beautiful email at the end of that meeting thanking me for my patience, my listening skills. Are you hearing that, Sue Smith? I do listen. But essentially, I don't know if people in the audience will consider that an aha moment, but when I get those type of emails that I basically put them together with something that's going to ease their life, that's meaningful. Very meaningful.
Yeah, and, it means you're doing the right stuff.
Yeah, to me, that's worth its weight in gold because it's kind of a dual type of high I get off of that. One is they listen to me.
Yeah.
Okay. But number two, after listening to me, it came to fruition, getting the thank you. It's validation that what I'm doing has a level of importance.
That's awesome. Yep. Yeah. Making a real difference. All right. Well, that's Daniel B. Smith on the sandwich generation, everybody.
I do like other sandwiches other than PB&J, just so you know.
Okay. Top three.
Top three would be the Italian combo. How can
Classic.
You go, how can you go wrong?
Yep.
Second would be, I like a good bagel with ham and Swiss, but the spicy mustard.
Spicy brown mustard.
Spicy brown mustard.
I'm a fan of that too. Can't go wrong with the mustard.
And for those people out there, if you haven't tried horseradish as a condiment.
I love it.
Yeah, give it a think. Give it a think.
It's polarizing, but I could eat it with a spoon. I really could. That's my Jewish heritage showing, but yeah, I gave that up with the challah bread and chicken salad earlier. I also love it on a rye bread. I also love a BLT.
All right, good stuff. Good stuff. You know, and just so you know, coming from upstate New York, you know, my sandwich preferences have changed.
Yeah, you drifted from Wonder Bread.
Well, it used to be Wonder Bread was made in Utica, New York. And that was like a school trip we went on every year.
You got to see it.
You got a whole loaf for the ride home.
Wow.
And, you know, I buzzed through the, like a loaf of bread.
Oh, my God.
White bread as a snack.
You were a growing boy.
Yeah, I had a metabolism then. But bologna sandwiches were huge. And we had bologna sandwiches with cheese and butter. That was a sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. It's
just
rough.
So, just so you know, from a cholesterol standpoint, not probably my first recommendation. But let's just say that PB&J bologna sandwiches were, you know.
Your two staples.
In the rotation frequently.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, man. There's just so many other things to enjoy. But okay, I get it.
Hey, you be the mother of four boys.
No, there's no way.
You're with me on that?
I am.
Okay. I mean, hey, these are it's the affordability factor.
Yeah, survival.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well, on that note, I hope you enjoy your sandwiches. And if you're in the sandwich generation, Dan's got your back. All right. Till next time. Love you.
Love you.
Presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services Incorporated is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.